Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
And last week, some monumental things happened. Some people gave their lives to Jesus, and they began this new process of following Jesus. So now, we want to lay a solid foundation really for following Jesus. And for everyone, this new series we might be beginning today is gonna help you as you start your new journey of faith. And for everybody else, this series is gonna remind us of what matters most and brings us back to the simplicity of what this whole Christianity thing is all about. Are y'all ready to start this brand new series? Come on, somebody. Come on, this new series is titled Practicing the Way. Practicing the Way. Before they called it Christianity in the time of the disciples, it was called the Way. Are you following the Way? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a Christian? And the three parts of this series is we're going to be with Jesus, we're going to become like Jesus, and we're going to do as Jesus did. But today, we're talking about being with Jesus. How many of y'all just love being with Jesus in this room? I just love being with Jesus. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew 4:19. Matthew 4:19. This is Jesus' first invitation to his first followers to come follow him. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Come on, bow your head with me and let's pray. God, we love you. We praise your name. Lord, thank you for North Point Community Church. God, thank you for every man and woman in this place. There is a divine design on their life. Allow your word to wash over us. Help us to have a wonderful time with you today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, Jesus, his invitation is come follow me. The gospel message always begins with this invitation. And God has been extending this invitation since the very beginning of time, always looking for someone on this earth who would be willing to drop everything to just follow him. And when Jesus arrived on the scene, Jesus began to open this invitation up to those that would be his closest friends and his closest followers. He said, come and follow me. Our series, it's inspired by a book, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. The reason we chose this is because years ago, I read one of John Mark Comer's books, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and it totally transformed my life. It was all about Jesus, walking with Jesus and slowing down to really be with Jesus in your life. And John Mark, he is mentored by the renowned author, John Ortberg. And Ortberg was mentored by Dallas Willard. Now, Dallas Willard is a legend. He's an American philosopher and was the foremost expert in Christian spiritual formation. He's one of the biggest figures really in our Christianity today. And John Mark Comer, he has the same anointing and the same conviction to bring Christians back to a place really of deep connection with Almighty God. So whenever we heard that he was writing a book on discipleship, we were so excited about it. We like pre-ordered the book and we couldn't wait because we knew the way this guy writes and his relationship with God. Let me tell you, I believe this message and this book is one of the biggest messages for our generation today. It explains the gospel and really how to walk with God in terms that I know in my heart, but I could never articulate like Comer does. I hope you'll read it. I hope you'll follow along over the next few weeks. And we actually have it available for you to be able to buy. But in this book, Comer challenges the notion that we have all seemed to buy into our culture, especially our Southern culture, right? Hey, we're gonna raise our hand. We're gonna pray a prayer. We're gonna say yes to Jesus. And when we die, thank you, Jesus, I get to go to heaven. Hallelujah, right? I mean, that's wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there is so much more with our relationship with God. I mean, Jesus, it's always about a relationship with Jesus, and it's not about religion. For Jesus, it wasn't ever just about, hey, checking off a box and saying, hey, I'm doing this and moving on. It's always about experiencing transformation through attaching to Jesus. And Jesus always intended that our Christianity, it would reshape our entire lives. So Comer talks a bit about what it was for a disciple to follow a rabbi. So I want you to see how extraordinary this is. In the Jewish life, when they were very young, the boys would start going to school, and by the time they finished school at a very young age, they would have memorized 3 or 4 entire books of the Bible by the time they were like 10 or 12. And then at 12, a select few would be chosen to go to the next school, and that next school was elite. And by the time they finished that school, get this, wait for it, they would have memorized the entire Old Testament. And after that, there was an even higher echelon, and everyone wanted this, that would be chosen to be disciples or followers of a rabbi. Some think that Jesus was the first rabbi and the first one to have disciples. He wasn't. This was a common practice, and this was so incredible. And if you see this, you'll see that people wanted to become disciples. To find out what it truly means to be a disciple, guys, it's unbelievable. It really means to be asked to come alongside the master as an apprentice. So when you hear disciple, we're going to use the word apprentice because that's one of the best words to use as we follow Jesus. So it meant that you were training to become everything the rabbi was, everything the master was. There was a saying back in this day that may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, meaning may you be walking so close to your rabbi that the dirt is literally on your clothes. In the Jewish culture, they would hope that they were chosen to follow a rabbi, but then if they weren't, well, they hoped to get married and have kids and hope that their kids were chosen to follow a rabbi. Guys, this was like the major leagues, right? This was like being big time. So over the next few weeks, I want you to understand that following the rabbi, it meant to be with the rabbi, to become like the rabbi, and do as the rabbi did. So over the next few weeks, we'll discuss Comer's 3 main goals of a disciple in following the way, which is way more importantly, are the 3 components found within Jesus' invitation to his disciples. So here it is. Here's the outline for the next 3 weeks, and it's his invitation. He said, follow me. So command number 1, it is be with Jesus. And then he said this, I will make you. In other words, I will transform you. Goal number 2 of a disciple is to become like Jesus. And then Jesus said, fishers of men, I will make you fishers of men. Goal number 3 of a disciple is to do as Jesus did. So this is our journey in this series. But today, we're talking about being with Jesus. Everyone say that with me. Be with Jesus. I'm telling you, it's everything. I want you to imagine 3 years following Jesus. Every step being with the master. I want you to imagine Jesus coming to you and saying, hey, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Wow, what a privilege. He said, I will take what you have been doing and give you a divine design. I will use you to change others' lives. If you come spend time with me, you'll learn what I do. Jesus said this, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn about me. And that's still the call of the master to all of us. So when a rabbi in Jesus' day said, follow me or take my yoke upon yourself, he was saying, he wants you to draw up close. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to learn his way, his thoughts, his plan, really his rhythm of life. But there's something Jesus knew from the beginning about the disciples and something that he knows about every single one of us. He knew that eventually, one day, the very few that walked with him, the very few that were with him, one day they would have to learn how to walk with him, even though they weren't physically in his presence. And he knew that. Even though that they were the very special few, that people, they had a chance to walk with him every single day. They had to understand that one day, I'm going to have to be with Jesus, but even though Jesus isn't there physically, I can't see him with my eyes, I can't hear him with my ears, I can't reach out and touch Jesus for him to comfort me, I still have to understand how to walk with him. So it was so ingrained in them to understand how to walk with Jesus. So even while they got to be with him physically for 3 years, the whole time they were learning what it would mean to be with him even after he was gone. But how many of you love Jesus in this room? You just love him. Jesus promised that when he left them physically, that he actually wasn't leaving them alone. He would always be with them. They would always have his presence. He said, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the world." I'm so thankful that Jesus never leaves us and he'll never forsake us. So over all that time, he was with them in person. What did he teach them so that they would know how to spend time with him when he wasn't actually there with them in person? Here's the question. How were they supposed to be with him once he was gone? And how are we supposed to be with him today? I'm going to give you three commands today in how to be with Jesus. If you're taking notes, here's the first command. Command number one is follow me. Say that with me. Follow me. This is monumental. What does follow me mean? Well, for Peter, Andrew, and James and John, it meant, hey, get up out of the boat, drop your nets, and go follow Jesus. For Matthew, it meant get up out of the tax collector's booth and leave your cush job and go follow Jesus. For others, it meant leave your life of sin and go follow Jesus. But for all of them, it meant leave your way and follow his way. When Jesus said, follow me to the rich young ruler, now that you understand how prestigious following and being a disciple is, it was monumental for this guy to leave Jesus with his head down because he knew, I can't leave my way, I can't leave my riches, I can't leave the way I like to do things to be an apprentice and to follow the rabbi. So I'll ask you today, do you believe it's worth it? Do you believe it's worth it in your life? Do you believe it's worth it to leave your way of doing things and follow as an apprentice to the rabbi? Do you believe it's worth it to maybe give up some of your time on Netflix or social media or on the news to be able to follow the rabbi as he makes you an apprentice? Is it worth it? Because I believe it's so worth it. Whatever it is that takes your time from you, when you hear Jesus say, follow me, the first thing that dawns on you is that that thing is probably going to have to submit to the call. Do you believe it's worth it? You know, in my life, I love when we do 21 days of prayer and fasting because it makes us evaluate our time. And so I evaluate my time and I give up normal things that I do in order to be able to follow Jesus. So during 21 days of prayer and fasting, I usually give up, you know, watching TV, or I'll give up scrolling through the news. And whenever I do that, there's a huge void. Have y'all noticed that? Whenever you do these 21 days, and then I turn my face to Jesus and it dawns on me, I've been spending all this time on these futile things over spending time with the master. I've got to follow Jesus. And the fact is, and Comer makes this point really well in the book, all of us, every single one of us, you got a rabbi in this room, okay? You got something you're following, you do. You got something that's affecting you. And some of you say, nope, not me. Nope, not me. I'm a self-made person. I follow my own tune. I'm doing me, you know, I'm following my own truth. Guys, if you think that, you're just joking yourself up in this place, okay? You don't understand, because every single one of us, we're created to be impacted by others. We created to be influenced. And God designed us as humans to be molded and moldable. You learn and grow with every new experience, and you're always becoming. And who you're becoming is 100% being influenced by some sort of influence. The one good thing here is that we can choose. We can choose who and what gets to influence who we're becoming. How do we choose that? Well, by deciding who and what we follow. I don't think it's a coincidence that at the bottom of every single social media page and all the podcasts, there's a follow button. I don't think it's a coincidence that society has labeled influencers as the ones that have the most followers. Whenever you choose to follow someone and you give them 5 minutes of your time, and you say, well, you've chosen to give up 5 minutes with all these other things in order to be with them. I'm not down in social media. I'm not down in podcasts. I'm just wanting you to see your life and evaluate, how are you spending your time? What's the biggest influence in your life? You know, if we are followers of the way for us to know the way is for us to spend our time with Jesus. An easier way to say this is your number one influencer, it better be Jesus Christ. You've got to be influenced by Jesus. Come follow me. We've got to be with Jesus. So as I said earlier, Jesus knew he would not always be physically on the earth for the disciples to follow him so closely. So he gave them another command, which was to guide them in the goal of being with him. That's what we're talking about today, being with Jesus. So here's the second command. It's found in John 15, 1 through 8. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Can I get an amen? Amen? It is God's will that you and I bear much fruit in our lives. Command number two, if you're taking notes, command number two in being with Jesus is abide in me. Say that with me. Abide in me. What does abide in me mean? Again, in all practical terms, it means spending time connected to Jesus. And not just time, but we got to spend our lifetime connected to Jesus. Here, maybe we could say the focus is not on what someone has to give up, but the focus is that we are connected to our life source. And here's the question, is Jesus truly your life source? Is that who you run to for your life? Because if we don't, then that might explain why we're calling ourselves Christians, but we're having a tough time seeing the fruit of our lives. Because here's the thing, God hasn't just called us to be believers, just believe it. God has called us to be abiders, to be connected to Almighty God. So did you see the promise in the verse we read? Jesus said that if you abide in me, then number one, you're gonna bear much fruit. But this second thing he says, I think all of us want. He said, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That's pretty good stuff right there. How many of you want what you ask for God to do it in your life? You want some miracles? Well, right here it says, what you ask, it shall be done for you. But it's when we abide in him that we begin to find ourselves in that special place where what we ask for actually happens. And this is because we're linked to Almighty God. And when we abide in him and we're connected to God, his thoughts become our thoughts. His ways become our ways. So it just makes sense. What we desire happens because that's what he desires for you to happen. The book of James, it teaches us that a lot of our prayers, they don't get answered because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own desires. And then it goes on to explain that if we know how to seek his will above our plans, then we will start seeing our desires work out. And that's why Jesus right here, he's absolutely certain. When we're connected to him, when we think like him, when our ways are like him, when we're going in the same direction and we ask something, well, it's in line with what he wants for us, it will happen. And I believe that for every single one of you. I believe the things you're asking God for, I pray right now that it will come to pass. So today I hope each of us will hear the second command and call of Jesus, abide in me. So I want to take this thing a little further. When you think abide, I want you to think of like where you reside. So if someone says, hey, where do you live? Well, I live at 682 Shady Tree Lane. That's where I abide. That's where I live. Like you're not just linking up to Jesus. No, you're moving in with Jesus, right? Jesus is a part of your house and you're a part of Jesus's house. Or even deeper, let's keep with this Jesus's own analogy. We're becoming a very part of his vine. And the way that we do that is we make sure that he becomes our default address. He is the place we return no matter what happens in our lives. So imagine a grapevine branch. It's growing, right? And it can grow long. It's growing up a fence and then up around a tree. No matter how far that grapevine branch goes, the personality of that branch, it's not of that fence post. It's not of that tree. No, it's the grapevine because it's connected. So I'll say it this way. This is what I mean. Even though you have a hard job amongst some maybe people that don't respect God, and they make it plain, we are not believers, and you're in a difficult circumstance, you still have the abiding presence of Almighty God in you. And even if you're having to spend your time with them or in tough circumstances, well, because you have chosen to remain or abide and be rooted in your home base of God, that's who you are. Even though you're with them, even though you're in difficult times, you're abiding and you're connected to God. And here's how we can do this. The book has a wonderful section in there that talks about turning God into a habit. And I know that almost sounds disrespectful, turning God into a habit, but it's not. It's saying that you want to turn God into a habit so much when you have victory, you go to God with gratitude. When you're failing, you go to God for direction. When you're getting the good times, the bad times, it's such a habit. The one you're connected to and you're running to, your habit is Almighty God. So it's another choice. There really is a responsibility of all of ours. Do I have the Lord in the forefront of my mind? Do I consider him in all that I do? Do I have my mind set on the things above? Am I taking time to worship Almighty God when I'm in church? Am I making the house of God the place I constantly come back to? Am I taking my next step with God? It's a self-evaluation. In other words, am I abiding in him? You know, whenever I feel like I'm getting away from abiding in God and not connected to him, I feel like my rhythm with God is off. I don't know about you, but whenever I get out of my, you know, normal devotional time or prayer time, or whenever I'm not hanging out with my family and being with friends that are really building me up in my faith and helping me with my walk with God, I can feel it sometimes. And the way that I feel it is I find myself apologizing a lot, right? I find myself apologizing to my kids for being crabby and not being very happy. I find myself apologizing to my wife for maybe snapping at things that make no sense. And I get angry and I say, oh, wait a minute. Where's my connection with the vine? And I get back, it's an active choice. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, guide me and strengthen me, but help me get, it's an active choice to connect back to the vine, and then God takes care of everything. So I just want to tell you this, there is a bottom line of abiding. And what I realized then is that abiding, it's an active choice. Everyone say choice. It's an active choice. And I don't decide to abide and then just go on about my business. Look at this verse again. The branches which just look like they're abiding, but they aren't really bearing fruit, wind up getting cut off by the Father. It implies the idea that we've got to keep it up. We've got to continue abiding. In other words, it really does have to do with making the things of God a part of your habits. You got to keep showing up. Can I get an amen? You got to keep your prayer life. You got to keep your worship. You got to keep your moments with Almighty God. And that's when God really shows up for us. And that brings us to our third command, which will let me wrap this message up. On the night that Jesus was betrayed at the Last Supper, he gave this command. And honestly, it kind of sounds like a request, but no, it's a command. And here's the third command. He said, remember me. Everyone say, remember me. This command is not in Comer's book, but it fits perfectly as one more way to be with Jesus. Even though Jesus isn't here in the flesh walking around with us, he had that last special night with the disciples and took that moment to tell them a secret that all of us have the secret. He said, remember me. Have moments to talk about me. Have moments to remember what I did. Remember the times with me. And if you do this, this is one of the greatest ways that you can be with me. You know, I don't know if you've ever lost someone really close to you. And you were afraid that over time, their memories might escape you. But the way to keep someone close to your heart, even though they have passed on, is to remember them. Now, I've often heard my dad tell someone who lost someone close to them, he'd say, don't not go to their favorite places they used to go, but go there. Sit in their favorite spot and remember them. He'd say, don't turn down that song they used to like so much because it makes you cry. No, cry your eyes out. Turn that song up and remember them. Because that's how you keep someone close to you. You got to remember. You know what? I have people in my life, and they haven't died, but I don't get to spend much time with them. And I find myself delighted when I begin to just have memories about them. You know, there's five of us Durham boys, and it's just Lucas and me left in Shreveport, and the rest have just deserted us for greener pastures. You know, some of them are in Miami, that godforsaken place, and Nashville. God definitely isn't there. No, I'm just kidding. They're having a great time, and we love them. But I'll sit with Lucas sometimes, and I'll just say, hey, man, have you talked to the boys lately? And we'll start talking about what's going on in their life, bring up memories, and, hey, if they were here, we'd be dying about that. I mean, we'd be having some fun over there, talking about the next time we're going to get to be with them, and we just talk about them. And after talking about them, and it's almost as if we spent some time with them. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, remember me. He knew that whoever you take time to remember is who you're actually choosing to be with, even if you aren't exactly getting to be with them. And I don't know how else you can remember Jesus unless you love him enough to read his stories, to read the Gospels, to learn everything you can learn about him so you can remember everything there is to remember about him. We've got to remember Jesus. Friends, this message, it's so simple today. If we want to be practicers of the way, then we need to start by being Jesus's true disciples. Not just people who say we believe, but people who have signed up to be apprentices to the rabbi. And the first goal of any apprentice is just to get some time with his teacher. So out of all this, the only thing I want you to get out of this today is we've got to be with Jesus. Say that with me, be with Jesus. And this is what I pray for you. I pray that you'll follow Jesus like never before. I hope this doesn't sound complicated. I want to make this as simple as possible. No matter where you are in your life, this fits for you. If you're at the very beginning, following Jesus just means, hey, I want to give up my way for the best way on earth, and that's following his way. Abiding in Jesus, yes, we're going to connect to Jesus, but we're going to make him a habit. So no matter what we're going through, we run to Jesus. He is our answer. We are connected to him. And then throughout the day, I pray that you remember Jesus. Bring him up in daily conversation. Bring him up in your thoughts. Bring him up in the way that you walk, because we've got to be with Jesus.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.